giving glory, honor, and praise to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to the ministers, deacons, everyone on this call. I count it a blessing to again teach and preach from the Word of God. And I will be reading from the New King James Version, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1. It reads, "Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart. But we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But even if our gospel is veiled, it's veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them." Verse 5, "For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." May God bless the reading of his word. I want us to focus on verse 5 here, which reads, "For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake." And we just want to focus on this verse and everything that we have read here from 2 Corinthians chapter 4 this morning, using the sermon title, "We Preach Jesus." We preach Jesus. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord God, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your word's direction, your word's guidance, your word's light. And God, I pray, Lord, that your word, Lord, illuminates our hearts, fills us, Lord God, in a way that allows us to realize that we do not preach, Lord God, just to be preaching, but we preach because there is a desperate need to preach. And our preaching, Lord God, is not simply words, but it is deeds. Deeds, Lord God, that allow the world to see what your word in action looks like. So help us, Lord God, to preach Jesus, to preach him not, again, just in word, but in deed. That's our mission. That's our calling. And Lord God, we know that by your spirit and by our adherence to your word, that, Lord God, you will allow us to be successful in that calling. So thank you, Lord God. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. Jesus said that we are here, and he said that he came that we might have life and life more abundantly. And, you know, I always think about, and I think that we should always think about what life really is, and we should also think about what life is not. Because when you have some insight of what life is and some insight of what life is not, then it makes your walk through this life easier. It makes the achievements of this life able to be appreciated into some context. It allows the problems and the challenges of life to become easier to navigate and to overcome. And man has been asking for years, what is the meaning of life? And we know through living, through trials, through tribulations, that we often first come to learn what life is not. That life is not about how much material possessions we have. Life is not about the money and the material possessions that we can get. Because we all know many who have been successful by the world standards, and they had the money, they had the fame, and they had everything that they could ever have dreamed, but they ended up disappointed in their lives taking a destructive turn. So money and material possessions doesn't just get it. We learn also that life is not about always being or having things lined up perfectly. We learn that our role is often to just get the things lined up, that that's our job, to get things lined up. And we learn over time and as we keep living that life does often carry a lot of waiting. And than for. Therefore, there's a need for patience and preparation while we wait. We learn that life comes with some hardship. Burying family and friends is a part of life. Sickness and disease is a part of life. And life does carry with it some pain and suffering. But then we learn that life is also happiness. Life is also enjoying family and friends. Life is joy and creativity. Life is celebrating those birthdays and anniversaries. Life is helping and watching people, places, and things grow and thrive. That life is a constant process of becoming, moving closer and closer to what God has available for us. Life is perpetually leaving the past, learning from the past, living in the present, and preparing in the present for the future and then moving into the future. Life is a state of being from within. It's not a result of external circumstances, because things can be falling apart all around us and we can still have life. And what God wants us to know is that life comes from him and through him. Life comes through Jesus Christ. Life comes when Jesus saves us, protects us, feeds us with his word, and ultimately leads us to our full salvation. And I say all of that because that really brings us to this passage of scripture here in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, because Paul here was writing about preaching Jesus, not just with words, but with our lives. It says in verse 2, not walking in craftiness nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Our lives are to be the manifestation of the truth to others. And it's not just with words, as has been said, but with our lives that we preach Jesus. Now, just to provide some context, 2 Corinthians chapter 4 was preceded in the earlier three chapters by Paul, where he was discussing with the Christians in the city of Corinth their need to keep on keeping on down the right path. And Paul encouraged them then and is encouraging us today that because we who are saved are being conformed into the image of Jesus, that our lives are gradually becoming brighter and more beautiful as God shifts our lives in the direction that he has for us. In fact, that's just the note on which chapter 3 ends. And so Paul comes now into chapter 4 here. He's continuing this note in verse 1 and is saying in essence, therefore, because you have received God's mercy and he is making you look more and more like Jesus, do not lose heart. But going into verse 2, Paul was making another important point. Be humble and be transparent also. Verse 2 reads, but we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. In other words, Paul is saying, you manifest the truth. You make the truth known by presenting yourself to every man, knowing that God is watching. If God is doing something great in your life, you are a first-class prime example to the world of what God can do for his people. And so we should let the world see that example by being honest, humble, and transparent. Paul is saying, in essence, do not come to people misusing the word of God. Do not come to people talking about, look what I have made myself into. But rather, come to them with the spirit of humbleness and transparency and honesty and say, look at what the Lord Jesus has done. If we're going to let everyone see the reality of our lives and the work that Jesus has done for us, then we've got to be prepared to be humble. We had better be prepared to be transparent because people need to see the gospel at work in you. I like how the Message Bible paraphrased verse 2. It paraphrased it this way. Refuse to be fake and play games. don't maneuver and manipulate behind the scenes. Don't twist God's word to suit ourselves. Rather, we should keep everything we do and say out in the open, the whole truth on display, so that those who want to can see and judge for themselves in the presence of God. And I like that because that is about as plain a way to say it in our culture as you can say it. Paul's saying that the gospel needs to be on display and that it will be on display in us. We preach Jesus. But moving on to verse 3, Paul here, he lets us know that some people are going to look at God's people. They're going to look at us. They're going to look at our lives and look at the changed lifestyle, and they are still not going to get the message of the gospel, still not recognize the good news of Christ. And so Paul is saying effectively in verse 3 and going into verse 4 that if the gospel is obscure to anyone, it is not because God's humble servants are holding back in any way. No, it's because these other people are looking or going the wrong way and refuse to give the gospel serious attention. They are blind to the dayspring brightness of the gospel, the good news that shines with Christ, who gives us the best picture of God that anyone could ever get. And that's why we must all accept the reality that our role is not to make the gospel acceptable. Our role is to make the gospel available. Not everyone will hear and believe, but they must hear the gospel in word and see the gospel in deed. And so when we come to our key verse here in verse 5, Paul says in essence, preach Jesus. No need to preach ourselves and that we are preaching what we have done, because we did not do it. Jesus did it. No need to preach what we have accomplished, because we did not accomplish it. Jesus accomplished it. No need to preach how great we are, because we are not so great. Jesus is the great one. So we preach Jesus. Preach what he has done for us. Preach what he has accomplished for us. Preach how great he has been to us and how he can be to anyone. Preach Jesus, not simply in word, but preach Jesus in deed. And so as I move to my conclusion, ever since Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, we have lived in a fallen world. We live in a world ruled by sin, but we can be thankful for the grace of God that has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. And that is why we preach Jesus. We preach Jesus because there is a desperate need to preach Jesus. We preach Jesus because God is holy and no sin can come into his presence. We preach Jesus because every single person is born in sin and has sinned. We preach Jesus because the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. We preach Jesus because we have true life, eternal life, the moment we come to Jesus and receive him as Lord and Savior. We preach Jesus because the more we seek to come into alignment and commit our lives to the path that God has purposed for our lives, the more of God's abundance we will be able to partake of. We preach Jesus because eternal love, joy, peace, goodness, generosity, mercy, patience, joy, faith, and hope are truly only available through him. In short, it is the job of the church, the body of Christ, to tell the world the truth, to preach Jesus. Not just the pastor, not just the ordained ministers, not just the ordained deacons, but all of us, to preach Jesus. And it's the job of the church to tell the world that the Bible says that if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you will have the life that Jesus has made available to us. And so as we leave this call and not God's presence, let us determine day by day to ask God for help to preach Jesus. You might say, quote, I am not a preacher, unquote. But again, preaching is more than about words. It's about a lifestyle. That is why the New Testament is filled with so many admonitions to preachers about their lifestyles and character, because preaching is more than words. People who may never read a Bible will be reading you, reading whether the words you speak and faith you profess is working for you. I want to close with a brief story about a man who lived 800 years ago who preached Jesus. Now, we have a Catholic church here in Apopka named after this man who was known as Francis of Assisi. In fact, the current Pope of the Catholic Church, Pope Francis, takes his papal name after this man, Francis of Assisi. But the original Francis was an Italian Catholic preacher that lived outside of the Italian town of Assisi over 800 years ago. Francis died young. He was only 44 years old when he died. But his ministry and his missionary travels changed many lives. And one day, about 800 years ago, Francis asked another Catholic minister at their monastery outside of the town of Assisi in Italy to come with him the next day. Francis wanted to go into the town of Assisi to preach the gospel of Jesus there. Now, this minister, he was very happy to be chosen by Francis to go out with him to preach Jesus to the people. And so the next day, early morning, Francis and the other ministers left their monastery and they walked into the town of Assisi. And once they arrived in the town, Francis and the other minister went around and around the city or town of Assisi. They spent much of the day just walking down almost every street and alley. Francis just talked to people. Many of them knew who he was, and they spent most of their time in the poorest areas. They visited people that were sick. Francis at some point even stopped and played with some of the children that were playing outside. It said that he and the minister visited the jail, and all the time Francis would give the people they met words of encouragement and would talk about Jesus. Now, his companion, the other minister, all that day had been wondering, when was Francis going to preach? Or where was he going to preach? The man was amazed that they had gone through the whole day and Francis had not preached a sermon. And as it began to get later in the afternoon, Francis told the other minister, well, now it's time to start heading back home to the monastery. We want to get back there before it gets too dark. And so the minister, he said to Francis, so when are we going to begin preaching? You said we came here to preach. We are about to leave here, and you never started preaching. And Francis replied, brother, if we didn't preach today, then tell me, what did you think we were doing? Francis said to the man these words, your walking is also your preaching. There is no use in walking anywhere to preach if your walking is not your preaching. And I believe that that's a lesson for you and me today, all these years later, 800 years later. Your walking is also your preaching. What we say, people may forget, but what we do, they will remember. We preach Jesus most effectively by our example. Jesus said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. Yes, our words about Jesus have meaning to people, but our daily lives have even greater meaning. Our actions speak louder than our words. So let us preach Jesus by our walk, by our talk, by our example. Let us rejoice with those that rejoice, weep with those that weep, love, laugh, sympathize, empathize. Let us forgive and let us ask for forgiveness. Let us learn this word, share this word, live this word. That is preaching Jesus. Jesus said that he came that we may have life, a life that only God gives and that no man can take away, a life for us to share with the world so they also can come to know him as well. We preach Jesus. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, oh God, we thank you for your word. And God, we thank you, Heavenly Father, by allowing us through your word to recognize that preaching Jesus is not about just words, but it's about how we live. And we know, God, that you want us to live right. So help us, Lord God, by your word and by your spirit, Lord God, to preach Jesus, not just in word, but in deed. Convict us, Lord God, as needed, and show us where we need to step it up. Help us, Lord God, to see, Lord God, that it's not about just simply sharing the word, but living the word. And help us, Lord God, on that great day when all of your children have gathered together, to recognize that when we must stand before you and give an account, that we cannot just point back to what we said, but we are going to also have to point back to what we did. And help us, Lord God, to not only talk right, but to walk right. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.